If you're looking for a nice, calm career path to pursue, I wouldn't choose Priest Who Investigates Mysterious Phenomena. Damien Bashir and Thaisa Farmiga go spooky sister hunting in The Nun, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
My name's Sean Collier. This is the number one movie in America. I am here with two people who know don't wear a costume and stand in the middle of the road on Halloween night.
I
don't know what else. What else would it have been? I'm here with two nurses who don't actually seem to do anything.
That's more right. That seems That feels like me.
It feels like Camila Adams.
Yes.
There she is. And Robin Hitchcock.
Face melted.
I saw the 2018 Halloween last night.
Yeah. Was that your first viewing?
No. I saw it for the first time since I saw it in its original release way back 2 years ago. Simpler time.
I know.
You Can't Handle the Truth episode about it, right?
Yeah. I think it's one of the final before we switched the format. So you can find our thoughts then. You know, it's good. And yet, man, since the first one, that series has never avoided a few dumb things that everyone hated.
No.
Well, somebody pointed out to me, somebody set me up for it on Twitter. I had blocked it from my mind that in the new one, like the doctor, Laurie thankfully says, oh, you're the new Loomis on screen. that he eventually is evil for a few minutes just to like throw in a pointless extra twist at the end. He kills somebody because he's trying to save Michael so he can study him more. And then he puts on the mask and threatens to kill Jamie Lee's granddaughter.
Damn, I don't remember that at all.
Bad. Yeah, I definitely excised that from my memory of that movie because I think it's stupid.
Right.
That and Laurie has all of these, you know, has built this fortress in her house that has like an open balcony and Michael gets in just by punching in a window. She's got all of these cameras and lights and security systems and all this, and then 23 easy ways to get in the house.
Yeah, it's like you're
just right around it a little bit.
Your security game is whack, Laurie.
Anyway, there were two questions that were running through my mind as we watched The Nun, and I'm getting to those first. Or any segments.
Why?
One, because I need to know.
No, I mean, was the number one question, why?
Oh, yes, that's a very good question. Why are we here? Why any of this? Well, this looks like a lot of effort that didn't have to take place. Robin, were you spooked?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
Wow. See? Wow. Even like, Robin was like, try again, bitch.
Like, 90% of this movie is jump scares, and I hate those. That's one of the reasons I don't like horror movies. But I reached the point where I got desensitized because, like, it just happened so often that, like, whenever there was a moment of quiet, I was like, okay, it's gonna happen soon. Right. And there were like one or two scenes where they like played with that a little bit, where they made you think it was about to happen and then it didn't happen, and then ooh, it happened. But like, after, like, I think you only get 10.
Mary Beth was creeped out. We watched this, you know, on a Friday night, on a dark and cloudy Friday night, and it unsettled her enough that to give her nightmares. And I was like, well, different things hit people in different ways, but if this creeped her out, then Robin is definitely going to be creeped out. But no, your fear can be neutralized by the quality of the film.
Another thing to point out, though, is we talked about this in the Stigmata episode. I don't have that association with religious stuff with fear because I was raised essentially without religion.
Right.
So like John mentioned in our last episode, he's like, I'm terrified of nuns in the real world. Like, I don't have that experience. And then like demons and stuff has always... nobody in my family was ever telling me, like, watch out for the devil. So I don't have that like upbringing that makes this scarier.
My second meaningful question off of the Stigmata episode, Camila, were you religiously troubled?
That's funny because that's where I was going with that. Anyway, yeah. No, because because I don't think I really completely understood what was going on. And I think like the Catholic religion, like the Catholic religion aspect of it all was like, it was really convoluted. It's like, I don't understand why any of this is actually happening. And then I got distracted by the story about the Duke who was trying to summon something. And I was like, oh, he's trying to open the hell mouth. So that's to bring it back to Buffy. And then also I just didn't understand anything that was going on. I think the worst thing, the only thing that really creeped me out was, and this usually does it in movies for me, is that skitter that somebody is like running around and you don't see them, or like it's a little like pitter patter in the dark. That fucks me up. And that's the only thing that really got me, because it's like a bunch of, like Robin said, a bunch of jump scares, a bunch of like gross imagery of like, you know, corpses and stuff and blood. And it's just like, meh, that's not. And then a little bit of the, oh, there's somebody behind her, but she doesn't know. But are they really there? And ooh, nope.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the religion is weak. At the moment where I was like, this lady has Jesus's blood in her mouth and spits it on a guy, I was like, ooh, we're playing with fire now.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking it was like, oh, she pulled a demon knight. Like, that was from the movie Demon Knight, where Jada Pinkett Smith, she also had the blood of Jesus in her mouth and spat it on on Billy Zane.
Was that a Catholic movie?
No.
Because here's the thing. One of the things I know about Catholicism is that if you take some wine and treat it right, that's Jesus's blood. So
yeah, we do it every Sunday.
Right.
Right.
I was so, also, like, I was questioning,
why did they have to have a MacGuffin of Jesus's actual blood?
Right. And I was also thinking, like, when they were in the water, or I was like, there's a priest right there. Can't he just bless the water?
Right.
And just be done?
Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, you, like many people, didn't see The Nun. So let me tell you what happens. I'm up for a 60-second recap. It probably won't take that long. Somebody tell me when to go.
Go.
Demon nun is bothering some regular nuns. Last regular nun kills herself. Priest and novitiate go check it out. Creepy abbess is creepy. Priest gets temporarily buried by spookies. Regular nuns tell novitiate they need to keep praying to keep the demon quiet. That doesn't work. Priest figures out that the nun is a demon named Valak. Novitiate figures out all the regular nuns she was talking to weren't real. Village doofus shows up to help, kinda. Nun attacks. Novitiate gets temporarily possessed, then spits literal Jesus blood at creepy nun. Nun hides out in the body of the village doofus. Conjuring universe is inadvertently launched. To the end.
That is less than 40 seconds. I think it was around 35 seconds.
That's all it deserved. That was spot on. That's, now you really? need to go see The Nun.
What else do you need to know?
It's, yeah, Farmiga Light. I'm glad you addressed her actual name in the beginning at the top of the show.
Yeah, how did you say it? Thaisa?
I'm shocked. I've always just said Tessa.
Me too.
I looked it up online. Apparently it's Thaisa.
Really?
Three is that syllables. A real name? Like, no to offense her. To people making up names. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
The only, like, how to pronounce this I found were in reference to her, so maybe not.
Thaisa. I don't know. It's cute. But I'm not convinced that that's her sister. I'm thinking that's her daughter that she just... that was raised as her sister.
Yeah, I one of the few things I know about The Conjuring, and also it's in the very beginning of the movie, Vera Farmiga's in The Conjuring. Are these characters related in any way? I assume not, because one of them's a nun.
Right, I would imagine no, unless she's got brothers and sisters somewhere that we haven't discussed. The whole thing is that this nun, the creepy image in like The Conjuring Part 2, did she really need an origin story? No. This was so unnecessary.
Of all of the things in that, in the Warren's creepy room of death, like,
right.
Oh, a nun with an angry face? That's the one you have literal shelves full of creepy stories, many of which are based on reality and thus creepier, and right. You were like, people are afraid of nuns.
And not even that much so. I don't even, I'm not creeped out by nuns, but there was a shot where there was like a group of nuns walking down the hall faceless. I thought that was a pretty cool shot and a little bit spooky, but
yeah, I thought the abbess was effectively creepy.
Mm.
But I will say that when they revealed that all of the nuns weren't there, I thought that meant they were ghosts rather than imaginary.
Yeah.
That was when I was like, I think I need to rewatch part of this movie because I'm clearly confused. And then last night I put it on again and within 10 minutes I was like, it's not worth it.
No, I'm going to say they were ghosts.
Okay.
Because they buried their bodies at the end. Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they were all of the nuns were dead. Because the nun we see kill herself at the beginning of the movie is the final nun
right.
who's still there, who's killing herself so that the demon doesn't have a host.
Right.
Could have done it in a much less visible way. Village doofus wouldn't have noticed. But anyway, maybe those are ghosts giving solid intel to Thaisa, but there's also all that business about how she always has visions. So, like, are these are these just, like, brain communications from God telling her what to do? Do these correspond to the actual nuns who lived there? Who the hell knows?
I don't even think that whole vision thing had anything to do with anything until, you know, except for, like, the whole Mary points the way. And I'm like, oh, this will be important later. And then it was important later.
I'm like, come on. Like, oh, follow where the statue is looking. Like, yeah. Come on.
Hey, Dan Brown did the same thing in one of them Da Vinci movies.
And I'm pretty sure I said, come on, to that too.
I didn't hate this, though. I don't give it a good score, but it's going to get a middle score because, like, I don't know. It looks pretty and the setting is good. And it has a good cast. Fine. We're here. Fine.
It's one of those things, like, if I were to, okay, we've got a whole day, a whole weekend, it's spooky season, blah, blah, blah. Let's just dive into the Conjuring universe. I wouldn't not include it, but I also wouldn't probably, this will be the time where this would probably be right around when I was drunk or going to go pee or poop. And it's just, I wouldn't be paying a lot of attention to this one.
It's a movie that you can shit during.
Right. And, you know, there's no Patrick Wilson. There's like split seconds of him and it's just unnecessary. The whole thing.
So wait, the other thing that I saw on the internet and never would have known on my own is that Village Doofus is a character in The Conjuring.
He's not. Yes, but but what not.
What does that mean?
It's like, you know, the very end of the movie where they show you just like, and then he went on and got possessed and, you know, and he starred in their home movies. That's it. That's it right there. That scene that you see at the end of this movie, that's the scene that's in, except with some CGI of putting that actor's face on that person now.
Oh, it's a different actor?
Yes.
It's a different actor.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they
none of this was planned.
No.
They're making this up as they go.
Was this a movie on its own? And then they were like, let's make it a Conjuring tie-in.
No. Well, some of this is addressed in the Factsy segment, so let's get through those,
and
then we can discuss. This is our first tango with the Conjuring universe, so we can get back into that. The Nun was released September 7th, 2018, the 21st number one film of the year. Won its opening weekend with a very respectable $53.8 million. Easily beat the dreadful Jennifer Garner action movie Peppermint, which debuted in second with $13 million. That was on my bottom five of that year. That was horrible. Nun made a great big drop in its second weekend, $18.2 million, falling to second. Lost a lot of its target audience to The Predator, which debuted that weekend in first. It was a one-week number one movie in America. It did hang around, though, because that year there weren't that many horror movies during spooky season. There was an all-ages one, The House with a Clock in Its Walls, that came out the Nun's third weekend. There was kind of an also-ran that I didn't even see called Hellfest in the fourth weekend of the Nun. But there was not a hit R-rated horror movie that year until the aforementioned 2018 Halloween debuted, not until October 19th. So this got six weekends in September and October as the only, like, strictly for adult horror movie. So it made a lot of money. In fact, it made $117.4 million. It was the 27th highest grossing film of the year. Among the movies it outgrossed, Creed 2, A Wrinkle in Time, 50 Shades Freed, and Best Picture winner Green Book all made less than The Nun.
Wow.
That makes it the second highest grossing film in the Conjuring universe, behind only the original. The original made a little over $137 million in 2013. The Conjuring universe. someone should come up with the name. But until then, we'll just call it The Conjuring Universe.
The Conjured? Actually, I think that's the title of the third installment or something. Oh, boy. I don't
know. Mid-century monsters, whatever. So far, there are two series and two standalone films within the universe. The first series is obviously The Conjuring, the original in 2013. Conjuring 2 was in 2016. And the forthcoming, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
No, stop it.
Should have come out. Yeah, that's the name. Should have come out last month. COVID delayed to June of next year at the earliest. The other series is Annabelle. The first one of those was in 2014. Annabelle Creation in 2017. And Annabelle Comes Home last year. The two standalone movies were The Nun and also Curse of La Llorona. What? Also last year. That is the critical and box office nader of the series.
I didn't know that was part of it.
Neither did I. That was one of those movies that I saw the trailer for a million times because of year timing and the Oscars death race. So it's on my list of
I think that might be one where they worked it in. Like, there's one, I couldn't even tell you what it was. In one scene, a character from one of the core Conjuring movies shows up for a minute. And other than that, there's no connection. That might be one where they just folded it in. Theoretically, a sequel to The Nun is one of the in-development titles, but who knows at this point. The other in-development Conjuring Universe title is called The Crooked Man, which apparently is another incarnation of the Valak demon from Conjuring 2. Okay, here's what happens, I guess.
You're so right. The demon, in that whole damn room of creepy stuff, and this is what they want to ride on. Valid.
What they're retroactively writing kind of here, because with all of these movies you forget what happened in them the minute you walk out of the theater. Right. I like a couple of these. The first two Conjurings were good, like One and a Half Annabelles are good, but the plots are completely unimportant. Right. What they're trying to say is this demon coming to Earth in the movie we just watched is the wellspring of a lot of this series, because this demon, Valak, hitched a ride out of Romania on the Village Doofus, somehow made it to America, where he was exorcised by the Warrens, but the demon jumped over to Patrick Wilson or Vera Farmiga, I forget which one.
I think Vera.
And a lot of Conjuring 2 was about this demon being around.
Possessed Vera?
Ish. I think it's like Ish? Hanging. I think she's like a hanger on. Like, she's, because there's never a moment where we see like Vera's like possessed. But Vera's got like all of this. She keeps seeing her and she keeps getting visions from her and she just keeps coming to tell her your husband's going to die. So that's that's what I mean by ish.
And her husband's Patrick Wilson? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. And they're real. Those are real life people, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Right. You're aware of this, at least, Robin?
Now that you say that, I do remember that is true. This is one of the horror series. This is the first one of these movies I've seen, and I have essentially fully ignored it.
Ed and Lorraine Warren are real. To the listener, I'm putting real in gigantic scare quotes.
I mean, like, they have birth certificates and social security numbers. Right. That extent of real.
Exactly.
Paranormal investigators with a religious bent that have legitimately gone all over the world investigating things. Certainly themselves are true believers, certainly say that they've witnessed and experienced all kinds of unexplainable things, and really do have a creepy room full of cursed shit in their house.
Aren't they also the folks that investigated the Amityville house?
Yeah,
they
the set of Conjuring 2 is the Amityville house.
That's right, yeah.
Hang on. I've seen the Amityville Horror. Are they characters in that, or did...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Amityville Horror is loosely based on their investigation, very loosely based on the process of investigating that, which included them.
But then they're not in that.
The characters in Amityville Horror is the family that moved into the house. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I think the only outside help the folks in Amityville tried to get was a priest.
Right. Our former co-host, Aaron Kleiber, has gone up and knocked on the door of their house. Nobody was home.
Of Lorraine and who's it?
Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yeah.
Really?
He wanted to see the creepy room, wouldn't you?
Next question about Ed and Lorraine. Yeah. Are all these movies set in, you said, mid-century horror? Are they set 50 years ago?
Conjuring?
Yes.
Or 70 years ago is the case, maybe?
No, I think the Conjuring is like the 70s. Right?
That's 50 years ago. Sorry.
Ooh.
Robin, one of us was born in the 70s. We're not allowed to point that out.
You shut your filthy mouth.
I know. So far, I've made fun of made-up names and the 70s being 50 years ago. Camila's going to put a curse on
me. Cool.
Camila's not a made-up name.
I'm talking about my daughter's name.
Oh, what?
Yes. I totally made up Kajia. My sister and I made that up.
I think it's beautiful. Thank you. If somebody was like, yeah, that name's been around since the dawn of time, I'd be like, yep.
This is horrible. If someone said one name is made up, Camila or Kajia, I would have said Camila.
Except for I have a aunt. There's someone in my family whose name is Camilla. And with her accent, it always sounds more like Camila. And when I say her, I never met her. When I say her, I mean my grandparents' accent.
Gotcha.
Anyway, names aside.
Yes. 50 years ago, yeah. The Conjuring takes place.
Yes. In the timeline of this series, The Nun is the first movie, timeline-wise, set in 1952. All of the following films take place between 1952 and Conjuring 3, Devil Made Me Do It, is set in 1981. None of the existing ones take place later than the mid-70s, or maybe Conjuring 2 is like 76, 77.
All right, hold on. This movie is set in 1952 in Romania in a Catholic church?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have those? That's like deep communist Romania oppression time.
No idea.
I don't think anyone looked it up.
Right. I couldn't even tell you.
Now, I will say one of the impressive things about this movie to me, one of the reasons I think it kind of works, is these are all real settings in Romania. This was fully filmed in Romania.
Really?
At a real creepy Hogwarts-ass looking castle in the middle of nowhere.
It is a very cool looking castle.
Yeah.
And the best thing about this movie is the setting, I think.
Yeah, so I will agree.
Whether or not it's real Catholicism, it's certainly a real place in real Romania.
In your facties, is there anything about anything spooky that happened on set?
Oh, I love
that. No, I think they were fine. Because I don't think it was a religious... I don't think it was actually a religious thing. I think it was like a secular castle. And like a lot of the other stuff was filmed at like, you know, the national building. Not parliament, but the place, you know. I feel like I'm both looking for a word that doesn't exist and overcomplicating saying, you know, where the government be. Memory quoting the Capital IMDb building. Trivia. Yeah, something like that. Let's go with Capitol Building.
Sure.
The Palace of the Parliament Building.
Ah,
is that what it's called?
That's where they were.
Yes. I think I said all of those words.
You said those words, just not together.
Do I have more? Only that none of this is based on reality. Everything outside of the Nun series is based on something that the Warrens did. La Llorona is based on, you know, genuine myth. This is the only genuine myth. That's a good phrase. This is the only corner of the Conjuring universe that is just some shit they made up. Robin, do you have any clearer understanding of the franchise now with all of those confusing facts?
A little bit. I continue to not particularly care.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not a strong universe, but I feel like if you were going to delve into it, just do the Conjuring 1 and 2. That's
yeah,
it.
I will yeah, if they ever fine. Get pulled up on this show. I can't really see myself watching them otherwise. Or I don't know, if I were at somebody's house, if that's a thing that happens again in the future, and they were like, you want to watch The Conjuring? I wouldn't be like, no.
I'm leaving. But like, I can't watch either one of them alone at night. Like, I have to watch them.
So they're like genuinely good?
Yeah, they're good. And there's the first one is
genuinely scary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
There's like a lot of like weird stuff.
This is frustrating in the good horror movie way, which is at every point, every character significantly increases their own peril for no reason. It's every moment. There's 12 different times in this movie where you're going, why would you do that? I don't care how strong your faith is. Do not walk through a door marked God ends here.
Exactly. It's like, what? It's like, yeah, well, clearly this is not where I'm supposed to be. I have made a wrong turn. Excuse me.
And I haven't been to church in a long time. I'm pretty sure it's a rule that you don't follow a ghost nun into the confession booth. I think if you see a ghost nun go into the confession booth, that's for her alone. You do not get to come in.
Right. Oh, clearly.
Like, if you see a ghost nun go into a confession booth, it's time to explore alternate religions.
This is the thing. This is something that came up whilst Dan and I were watching this. And I couldn't, I had trouble like trying to think of one, but most horror movies that deal with religion and religion being fucked up or messing with you, it's always Catholic. It's always Catholicism. Yeah. Like, you know, I couldn't, like, is there a Jewish one? Is there, like, you know, something with, like, Muslim? Is there even, like, Southern, like, Baptist? Like, the closest I got was, like, I feel like Southern Baptist is kind of, like, a little adjacent. Sometimes they move it over to, like, voodoo and hoodoo. But, like...
I feel like they also might kind of climb into some of those, like, creepy redneck movies. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, like, when they're talking about, like that movie that was, like, loosely based on Jim Jones. I forget what it was. Like that.
I've never sat down and watched it, but early influential silent horror film The Golem was, you know, that's one of those, like, along with, like, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and Phantom of the Opera, that's one of those. These are the movies that started horror.
Right.
I mean, I think what's happening there is just that people don't necessarily want to beat up on, like, they're like, Catholics can take the hit. Like, one, I was a Catholic. Shit is spooky. It is an inherently spooky religion. But, and two, like, as practically a country unto itself and a very powerful one, it's like, we're not punching down by planting horror, whereas if you did something terrifying involving Judaism or Islam, it might be seen as...
That makes perfectly good sense.
I mean, now you're getting evangelical stuff like Red State.
That was the kind of thing that I was thinking of. I don't think that those movies come out to say, let's do a creepy evangelical movie, but they're talking about a culture where evangelism is... so enmeshed. It would be like if you did, to use the example from my history, if you were like, you know what, I want to make a horror movie about suburban New Jersey, it would involve Catholics. And
this was oddly parallel to Stigmata.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of
two movies with sexy priest investigators.
Sexy priest investigators. That's like a new genre now.
Best actor nominee, Damien Bashir.
I mean, I love that dude, but I was having some difficulties with his accent.
Like, he is worthless in this movie, other than his beautiful face. Like, he has... It was like, who... What happened? Did he have the flu? He's so completely devoid of energy and charisma, and I really like that actor. I loved A Better Life, and... He was great on Weeds, and he just was nothing in this.
Yeah, I think it's just, he probably just didn't give a shit. He's like, I have a mortgage to pay. I need to get over here, and I need to make this movie real quick over in Romania. So...
Which leaves it to young Thaisa, and I like her. This is beyond her skill set. I mean, I think she's always fun on American Horror Story. She's really good in The Bling Ring because she's like a bratty, annoying friend. Like, that works. Not like, I am pious and will save the day.
Right.
I don't think you will.
I'm not really buying the whole purity thing about that. Like, as she was talking, as she was saying things like, you know, like, it's okay, Frenchie. Or, no, thank you, Maurice, for saving my life. I'm thinking... just in my head, I'm like, I wonder how many times she had to say this line in order for the director to be like, yes, I believe that. I believe what you're saying now. Like,
I find her distracting because she looks so much like Vera Farmiga, but less attractive.
Right.
And it honestly looks like if you pinched Vera Farmiga's face towards its center line.
Yes.
She has too much outside of her face.
Yes. And I just keep wishing, I just keep thinking, I wish Vera were here.
Yeah.
that's usually everything that goes through my head when I see her on screen.
Right. Like, Camila and I had this conversation essentially last week on mic, but I had to cut it out of the episode because it was while Sean's computer was dying and it became...
Sorry, I'm gonna keep on that.
But we repeated it for you, the listener.
All right.
Trying to see what else I have.
I know, like, this is one of those movies where we come into the episode and it's like, how do we create content?
Right. Because it's not helping matters, really.
I kind of like the scene where Damien Bashir got buried. I don't know why I just said it that way. The part where all of the bells, he's at a grave that has a bell in case you get buried alive, and the whole field has bells, and all the bells start ringing. That was cool.
It was.
It was probably the peak of the movie for me.
Again, Thaisa ruined it for me.
Yeah.
I think she's the reason why... She is the cause of a lot of subtracted points for me, personally. It's just, she's not interesting.
But that whole sequence in the graveyard with the bells is why when the spooky abbess is like, hey, you can stay here tonight. You say, the fuck I will, and you go back to town. Like, you're free to stay here. I'm free to do a lot of things. That's not going to be one of them.
Exactly. What I'm not going to do is stay another minute in this creepy fuck town. Like, I'm out. I'm so out.
I misspoke. My favorite moment of the entire movie is when the village doofus confronts the monster and says, I'm French Canadian.
Yes, I have that in my notes. Like, first of all, she's like, a village is going to miss its idiot. And she goes on to insult him a little bit more. And then he's like, I'm French Canadian. What? Well, wait, what? Why are we?
I think she insulted France and he was like, I don't care.
Bitch, I'm French Canadian. Okay, good one, Maurice. Zing.
Now,
crazy old Maurice.
Now, he was, man, did I hate that character.
Oh, what was the point?
So much more of a solid movie without him. I hated when he came back at the end. He's always like just adding an unnecessary body to the scene. He's not moving anything along. And he took the demon back to America. Right. Thanks. But really, a lot of the stuff he says isn't like, oh, it's the dumb guy being dumb. It's like, what are you even doing here? Like, so they get to the blood. And the priest is like, this is the blood of Christ. And Frenchie says, Jesus Christ?
No, Greg Christ.
What do you think we're talking about?
What? Why are you here? Just I need you to clarify. Right. Why are you here? Yeah, I think he was there solely to have a way to tie him into tie this movie directly to that. It's like, we're going to need another random dude. So to, morph his face onto this pre-existing footage that we have. Okay, so mouth-to-mouth resuscitation was a thing in 1952, yes?
Honestly, I don't know.
I mean,
a good question.
Because when he does it for her and he's like all embarrassed and's like, oh, I'm sorry, they call it the kiss of life. Ooh, I wasn't trying to go to second base. Oh, it was mouth-to-mouth. What are you doing? Why are you here? Somebody please.
And why are you being horny for a nun all the time? I get, like, there are only so many fish in the sea in rock fuck Romania, but like, calm yourself down. That said, I would drink at that bar. When they were at the bar, I'd be like, yeah, I'd hang out there, especially now. That place is either all COVID or no COVID.
Exactly.
Okay, I just Googled history of CPR. The French Academy of Sciences in 1740 recommended mouth-to-mouth resuscitation for drowning victims.
In 1740?
1740.
Okay, Frenchie.
Yep.
Yeah, he doesn't know that because he's French Canadian. Let's rate it. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it because it's atmospheric and I like the cast and it had some effective scenes. I did subtract 5 points for a clue on a crossword puzzle and added 1 point back in for the fact that the convent got a clear signal on the village's creepy shit only radio station. That landed me at 49. I give it a 49.
Nice. I give it a 39.
All right. Less sunny, but still not utterly useless.
No.
Now for utterly useless, Robin score.
I gave it a 19.
Oof. Yeah.
I was so bored.
I wasn't bored. I Mary Beth liked it. Mary Beth genuinely liked it and was a little bummed that I didn't like it more.
Huh.
No. Apparently people did. It was a big old hit.
I was bored. I remember leaving the theater utterly disappointed and like audibly cursing out everybody involved. What the fuck?
You took 2 hours of my life.
Exactly. Better be glad the pretzel bites were fresh this week.
Oh, God, I miss going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
35 and two-thirds is the final score. 35 and two-thirds, one of our more popular ratings. The same number we gave Oh God, You Devil and TMNT. Three movies that are very similar in many ways.
Interesting.
Really, you couldn't have picked three more different movies.
Right?
Right. The bingo card, though,
I don't think there's anything.
I don't think so.
Thaisa Farmiga is a friendly robot. If she played a friendly robot, it would look a lot like the way she plays none, but nevertheless, nothing. And as we said, I think more than one of us have like one square to a bingo, but the nun offered no help.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Did anyone, was there a fist fight with Valak at one point? Did anyone? No. All right.
I was eagle-eyed for a fist fight because that's one of my winning squares.
Fucked some people up, but they didn't fight back.
Demons don't punch. There's a lot of clawing.
Yeah.
There was some strangling. I don't know. I was still confused by it. She's supposed to be corporeal or not?
I think yes.
Sure.
I watched sort of with the assumption of yes.
Okay.
Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
They certainly don't, so why should we?
Right, good point.
But before we get to You Can't Handle the Truth, I want to bring up this point. It may never come into play. If it does, it'll be this time of year. Since Unhinged, I have started again adding movies, adding new number one movies in America. We talked about if it's out in drive-ins and the theaters that are open and it makes more than $1 million and Box Office Mojo says it's the number one movie of that particular weekend, we're counting it again after our long break during the bulk of the pandemic. So far, that has just added Unhinged, New Mutants, and Tenet to our list. What's happening now, allegedly, I don't know the details on this, don't at me, Nolan, but at this point, allegedly Tenet is just lying. I don't know the extent to which they're making up the numbers. The one thing I do know is they're reporting their whole week and calling it the weekend. I don't know how they're getting away with that.
Because there's this is all voluntary, right?
Right. There are some places where everyone usually reports things in some detail. For whatever reason, Warner Brothers is just not doing that. And every Monday they say, yep, it made this much this weekend. It has been suggested that while Tenet is reported as the number one movie for the last couple of weeks, it really isn't. Look at number two. Because Tenet is just kind of fudging it so they can keep saying that.
Wow.
The reason I bring this up is because if we disqualify Tenet and still apply all of our COVID era rules, then the number one movie in America would be Hocus Pocus, which was re-released this week at physical theaters and also drive-ins, and it is number two with almost $2 million. It's not on the list.
Oh, wow.
It's not a number one movie in America from then. So do we say Tenet is disqualified henceforth and add Hocus Pocus to our list?
I vote yes with the asterisk. Whenever we have this situation where we aren't 100% sure that it really counts, where we can either do the free veto or we have to also do another movie. So for the purposes of spooky season, I am fully on board with if we happen to draw Hocus Pocus, we also have to draw something else because we don't know.
Sounds fine with me.
Sure.
I just wanted to say congratulations, Hocus Pocus. 27 years later, you're the number one movie in America.
Nice.
I saw that in theaters the first time around.
I didn't see that until the day I subscribed to Disney Plus. That was my test run of Disney Plus.
I don't think I've ever seen
it. It's good. It was playing behind me at the drive-in last night. Hey, while we're here, it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Possessor by Cronenberg Jr. David Cronenberg has a kid, makes movies now, and if you think, man, if you were David Cronenberg's son, you'd really have to go over the top at being fucked up. You'd be right.
Oh my.
It's good. It's really good. It's one of those movies that's really good, but is so focused on being upsetting, confusing, disorienting, actively like aggressive to your brain that like you probably won't like it, but it's good. It's a sci-fi thing. Andrea Riseborough plays an assassin that she takes over your brain. Like they kidnap you and they put a thing in your brain, and Andrea Riseborough has a thing in her brain, and then she can take over your brain and control your body and live your life for a while and kill somebody. And then they got away with it because there's no link to the people doing the assassinations.
Wow.
It's really dark. It's really they renamed it Possessor Uncut. There's no cut version. They just wanted to underline that it's gross.
Yeah, I was going to ask using the This Had Oscar Buzz Cronenberg rating system of is it horny, gross, or both?
Oh, both. Definitely both. Okay. There's a lot of sex scenes while someone is having brain trouble. Okay. So like there's people fucking, but like it keeps like almost epileptic inducing flashes of, visions that they can't understand. And at one point, the one guy's wearing an ill fitting Andrea Riceborough mask and having sex with her estranged husband.
Nope.
And it's super, super violent. I'm not selling this, and that's fine because I don't think many people should watch it. It's very violent. So much of it is about she's in this other guy's brain and it's not working right, and her brain and his brain are fighting for control inside their head, and they're like tripping all the time as a result. So it's hard to watch, but it's really good. The cast is great. It also has Jennifer Jason Leigh and Sean Bean and that guy. While I was watching it, I was like, oh, it's that guy. And he's one of the most that guys. Christopher Abbott. You know him.
Do
we? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
He is that guy.
To the listeners, I had to hold up. He's a lead in It Comes at Night. He's a lead in Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. In Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. He was on Girls. He was in Vox Lux. Like,
that's why I know.
I know him from the show The Sinner.
Very good. Only for weirdos. Only for horny, violent weirdos, as Robin points out. Probably saw other things, but then that. Oh, The Boys in the Band is great. It's what you think. It's exactly, you know, the gripping theatrical experience that you think it is with great performances. It's just the Broadway show taken to, it is a lightly adapted play, so it takes place in one place and it's just barely feels like a movie, but really good.
It was made as a movie, right? It's not, yes, like Hamilton. It's more like Chicago.
Yes. I mean, they did not do much. You know when you see something that's been converted from a play and clearly the play took place on one set? So at the beginning, there's like 8 shots of characters walking down the street to establish, yes, that there's a broader world outside of this room. That is all that is done.
Okay.
But Jim Parsons is great. I know, Big Bang Theory. He's great. And so is Pittsburgh's own Zachary Quinto. Aww.
Listen, he was great on Big Bang Theory. Like, that show's obviously garbage.
Okay,
but
thank you.
He created a beautiful character.
Robin, watching anything?
Honestly, so, like, one thing that is kind of hard now that Keanu Review is going on is that in the weeks where I don't watch a lot of movies, it's like, well, spoilers for the next episode of Keanu Review, Destination Wedding is terrible. The other new-to-me movie that I watched was Room at the Top, which Simone Signore, I think that's how you say her name, won Best Actress for. That's why I was watching it. You know, it's a pretty good movie, but like the thing that really stuck with me is that she is so ridiculously sexy. Like, she's like Sophia Loren levels of like, how are you possibly this attractive and sensual? I don't get it. So if you like mid-century European women, highly recommend Room at the Top.
Camila?
I am kind of in the same boat as Robin because I am started back up my other podcast, Down to Watch, where we are going through trying to finish Ryan Gosling's filmography, and I watched Song to Song.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Self-indulgent piece of Terrence Malick bullshit. Ugh.
As discussed in a recent episode, I love Terrence Malick bullshit, and I have been scared away from that one as notoriously bad Terrence Malick bullshit.
It's terrible. It's so terrible. Like, I spent most of the time fast-forwarding through it, for one. Two, I just didn't give a shit about anybody. Three, Michael Fassbender, usually somebody that I like to watch on screen, total creep-tastic in this film. I don't know what it was about. They claim it was like, you know, set against the Austin music scene. It's like barely, which was like one of the reasons why I was like, oh, this will be fun. Was this shot in Austin? I don't think so. But yeah, and then meh, blah, blah. I'm so upset.
Listen, Terrence Malick either works for you or he doesn't. And I'm pretty sure that most people who it does work for still thought this movie was bad.
Right. Yeah. Like, the original cut was 8 hours. Are you kidding me? How dare you? How dare you say that original cut of any fucking movie was 8 hours long? No, 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 no. I just...
Make a TV show.
Right. If that's what you want to do, man. Like, this is... You've got several episodes of a television show. But, yeah. Terrence Malick can go fuck himself. I have no... I think this might have been maybe one of two movies of his I've seen, or maybe it's the first one. But either way, I will never venture towards it again. Otherwise,
what was the other one?
I have no idea. Like, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know for a fact if I did see it. I feel like it may have Brad Pitt involved. Whatever.
Oh,
it was.
Tree of Life.
Did I see Tree
Were there
of
dinosaurs
Life?
In the middle of it?
No, I did not see Tree of Life.
That is the moment when I saw Tree of Life.
The New World. That was the other thing I saw.
Oh, I love that movie. But again, with Terrence Malick, it's one of those things where, like, I'm like, I love this. I can't really necessarily recommend it unless I know for sure that you also like this bullshit.
Yeah. I just, and it's just like, and the broad who is like the lead in it, I just don't understand why anybody, it's just too much. So if you want to, I mean, listen to me kvetch about Song to Song for 45 minutes. Listen to Down to Watch next week.
I do want to.
This is where I'm realizing that I've never seen a Terrence Malick movie.
No! What? Sean, you have to watch a Terrence Malick movie.
Just don't let it be Song to Song.
How is that not like a requirement for your film critic?
Right?
What is it called? Guild.
Right.
Well, one, because there are no requirements. two, it's odd that I never saw Days of Heaven or The Thin Red Line, just kind of by osmosis. But like, as a, you know, what you would call popular film critic, you know, my main outlet is on the radio.
Right.
On a morning show, I'm writing reviews for a regional magazine. Like, that falls right into the sweet spot of no one in my audience cares. So it's, right. And, you know, I don't know how many, if any, of these got screenings here, because, you know, mid-markets don't always get
right.
Critic screenings of things that are explicitly, you know, art house film. Yeah, I remember when Tree of Life happened, thinking I should watch that before the Oscars, and I just didn't. And I got a copy of A Hidden Life last year, and I was like, maybe I'll, and didn't. I've never seen one of his movies. Which one should I watch, Robin?
Honestly, I think that maybe the best test of it is Thin Red Line,
mm-hmm.
because that is a relatively mainstream movie from him that is also really good and hints at what his deal is. And then if you like that, I would say, I mean, I just watched Hidden Life and liked it a lot, and I think it's very relevant to our time, so maybe that's a good one to check. Also, it's on HBO Max. And The New World, I really love that movie. Once you buy in, if you do buy in, I would say that's the next to watch. Or Days of Heaven.
This has been Terrence Malick. What's up over there?
Right. I love how in this episode about The Nun,
we have segued to Terrence Malick.
Right.
The other thing that I watched was the American Family, the Family Next Door, or American Murder, The Family Next Door on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
The documentary about that horrible incident, which, damn. But the excellent thing about this film, this documentary, is that all they used was pre-existing footage. So they used the body camera footage from the cops from the moment that they were called into on the scene. They used the surveillance cameras from the police station, and, you know, like whatever news footage that they had already. And also, apparently, the woman, just like, she did a shit ton of just like vlogging, like just like recording her life anyway and posting it on Facebook. So they just had all that stuff. So none of it was like a sit down interview with anybody or anything like that. It was just all told with pre-existing footage.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons I'm enjoying The Vow on HBO so much, is even though every now and then it, like, the spell breaks and I'm like, why is this recorded?
yes I'm like, this narcissistic bastard recorded everything.
Yes,
that is the America's Funniest Home Videos question. Nowadays you're like, yeah, can't we, people got cameras going all the time. In 1991, it's right. Like, why did you have your camera out the moment grandma fell through the table? This feels a little suspect. Oh, and I worked the first two nights of the Row House Drive-In, and night one was The Never-Ending Story, and I'm just proud to have been so right. I walked over to Brian, who had never seen the film. Brian Mendelsohn, who runs Row House, had never seen The Neverending Story. And I said, listen, in a little bit, a horse is going to die. And people are going and people are going to leave. And he's like, what? I'm like, it's really sad. At least, I said two cars. I only counted one. I said, at least two cars are driving out of here when that horse dies. Our tax goes in the swamp, falls under the, and I see headlights turn on.
Oh my
I'm like,
God.
Yep, couldn't take it.
Wow. Where are they doing the drive-in?
They have a pop-up drive-in most Fridays and Saturdays this month. There's one that it's not happening. In the Strip District by the terminal building. Building, the old produce terminal, is in the process of being kind of rehabbed, and they're bringing some new stuff in, and they got in touch with Row House about hosting a pop-up drive-in. And I... they just knew how much I've been at the drive-in and hired me as a drive-in consultant.
Really? So,
yeah, it's cool. It's, a lot of them are selling. By the time you've heard this, about half of them are over, and they are selling out. So get your tickets now and get there early so you can get a good parking space. But it's really cool. They'll show a short beforehand, and then it's a single feature. They've got beer. They've got pepperoni rolls. They've got popcorn. It's a nice... If you're not like me and you'll drive an hour plus on a weeknight just to get a taste of in-person movies and you're in Pittsburgh, it's right there downtown. It's a cool and a beautiful spot kind of tucked in the strip there. So it's a cool thing.
Nice.
Should we draw a movie?
Let's do it.
As a reminder, this is now a chronological list of just our spooky season movies. Programming note, our list has 140. If I put it to 141, 141 will represent a Hocus Pocus. The number is 12, which always makes me happy because I think that puts us in the 80s. Indeed it does. It's not Hocus Pocus, but I think it's close. We'll be watching The Witches of Eastwick for next week's episode. Cool.
Sure. Nice. That's usually what I confuse the two. I confuse them with each other in my brain, even though I've never seen either one of them.
They're different.
Right. Exactly. So that's cool.
This is not a family film, right?
No. I think this one is Bruce Willis is the dude in it?
No, or? I think it's Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
I haven't seen this since I was too young to be watching it.
Here I was. I was wearing my Scream 2 t-shirt, hoping to put some juju on it, but no.
Directed by George Miller.
George Miller directed The Witches of Eastwick?
Yes.
Who's in this movie?
Cher, Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Jack Nicholson.
Susan Sarandon.
Well, I think this is exciting.
Yeah, this will be good.
In my mind, like this and Hocus Pocus and The Craft all merge. And those three movies, I'm pretty sure those three movies have nothing to do with each other other than witches. Witch.
Yes. Witch, yeah.
Witch.
Do we have a copy of it? Did Mary Beth buy it? No, that's a two-pack of The Craft and Wild Things is what I was thinking of.
Okay, Nev, I see you. So right. Did you notice that yesterday, was it? Did we release a new episode yesterday, which was Halloween or Halloween 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, and that was also the guy who played Loomis's birthday.
Oh.
So Tony strikes again-ish. But really, it was old dude.
John. John Greenlee strikes again.
Happy birthday to the late Donald Pleasance. Yes, you wore out your welcome by the end of Halloween 2. We get it. You were right. He's scary. Can you blow yourself up? Thank you.
But anyway, I didn't let him out.
Which is
amazing. I told them not to let him out.
I forgot to say last week, I want to go up to people just yelling, "You don't know what death is!" Like, for no reason. Just cut me off in traffic, taking too long in the Target line. You don't know what death is! That's such a good thing to yell at someone as you walk away.
It's a good way to get don't put on a list.
Right, right. What did we talk about today? It's already forgotten. The Nun! The Nun was released September 7th of 2018. What was the number one song in America?
Taylor Swift!
No!
2018.
But
oh, was that
if it's
the...
very if it's very recent, always guess
Cowboy Moon, whatever that what was it? Country Roads.
yeah. It was John Denver's Country Roads.
No, I meant whatever that
very unexpected.
Whatever that rapper.
I sing that every time I pass into West Virginia. I sing the chorus of Country Road. You have to. It's like the law there.
And by the time you finished it, you're already in Ohio.
You're already out of West Virginia. Old Town Road is what you're thinking.
Thank
of.
You.
The Old Town Road.
What about that Ed Sheeran song about putting food in your purse?
What? No, nothing. Did you know he just did a song, did a video with Saoirse Ronan? Like, why is she slumming it in Ed Sheeran video? Because of basketball, we now get all the channels, and I found that there's like an MTV4 or some shit that actually is just videos all day.
Oh, really?
They make videos.
Ed Sheeran has a video starring Saoirse Ronan, and I'm like, what? She's got shit to do. Don't bother with that silly little man. No.
Is it Lady Gaga?
No.
Drake?
It's Drake.
Yeah, that was the when you said if it's recent, you guess. I don't think I'm going to be able to name what song it is.
Bling telephones? I don't know.
Bling telephones. Listen, let Camila make you a mixtape, but don't let her write the songs down. Be listening to Country Roads and Bling Telephones.
What's no, that?
I'm turning into my mother.
I don't know it. It's called In My Feelings.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Bling Telephones. That's so much better.
I've literally turned into my mom when it comes to... She used to fuck up titles of things all the time we were growing up.
It's seasonally appropriate. My mom was trying to tell me that she wanted to see A Quiet Place. And she's like, we're going to go see if they hear you, they kill you.
Yes. Such a better title. I love it. If they hear you, they kill you.
I mean, they do.
That's what happens.
I think my best was like my mom called cornbread. She's like that band Cornbread that you listen to.
Cornbread is a corn cover band in Toledo.